Welcome back to the Sheriff Mac Show, ladies and gentlemen. I am Sam Bushman. Wow, Fox News meltdown continues. Jesse Waters will replace Tucker Carlson in the 8 p.m. primetime slot. Laura Ingraham, I guess, moves to the 7 time slot. Sean Hannity will remain in his 9 o'clock time slot. Wow, how come none of those three hosts will have the good sheriff on to talk about this monumental day? Sheriff, welcome, and we're going to have you on because it matters.
Yeah, I get to be on my show. I get to be on my own show. Thank you, Sam. Thanks for having me. Thanks for being here, Sam. Thank you, Hunter. Thank you, Brighty on TV. And I'm telling you, Sam, it is a beautiful Tuesday morning here in Arizona, but that's only going to last another few minutes because it is way too hot, way too hot. So it's a hot topic we got going on today for the show. It's an amazing day. It's an amazing anniversary. And we have the two sheriffs, the two primary litigants in the Mac Prince case that are on the show today. Yes, we have Sheriff Jay Prince with us today, Sam, as you know, and I am thrilled with it. And I got to tell you how this happened. Yesterday, hey, he texted
me. Before the story of how it happened, let's make sure everybody understands. The anniversary Sheriff Mac is talking about is today marks the 26th year anniversary of the Prince Mac win, the monumental Supreme Court case that restored the 10th Amendment, the greatest 10th Amendment decision ever rendered. Will citizens back their county sheriffs is the question. We're celebrating the 26th year anniversary with both sheriffs. Sheriff Mac?
Yes, Sam, and I'm telling you, there's so much going through my mind. As soon as you said that, I look, 26, actually more like 29, 30 years just flashed in front of my face and in my mind. The last 20, 29, 30 years, we both filed in 1994. So, I mean, you could do the math from there. 29 years ago, it's been an amazing, amazing run. It has changed my life, of course, forever. It's changed my family's life. And it's just been an amazing, amazing, miraculous run. So yesterday I got a text from somebody on a 406, and I knew that was Montana, but I didn't know who it was. And he started talking to me about the anniversary of the decision. And I said, well, if you're talking about my Supreme Court case, then yes, but it's not the 26th, it's the 27th. And then he wrote back and he goes, our decision. And I go, oh my gosh, this is, I called the number right then and there. I said, Sheriff Prince, is that you? And cause I didn't have his number in my book. I think I have it in my own, in my new phone. I have it in my old flip phone. And, so yeah, we had a great talk and we reminisced a lot about all of this. And he's such a dear friend. And what he did, was miraculous. And anyway, Sheriff Prince is from Ravalli County, Montana. I filed on February 28th, 1994, against the Brady Bill, against the Clinton administration. And then a few weeks later, and he's going to have to set me straight on this, a few weeks later, I don't remember if it was two or three or four or five or six, he'll be able to tell us when his case, I filed first, he filed second. And he and I never spoke about it. He never called me. And then we, get this, a small town sheriff from Ravalli County, Montana, and a small town sheriff from Graham County, Arizona, filed this lawsuit against one of the most corrupt regimes in American history, the Clinton administration, to stop the Brady Bill, to stop the overreach and the gun control associated with the Brady Bill. And don't forget, there was 5 Brady bills scheduled to be passed one year after the other, to where they were completely going to gut the Second Amendment and destroy the right to keep and bear arms through those 5 bills. And Sheriff Prince and I stood up and said, No, that's not going to happen. Neither one of us thought we were going to go to the Supreme Court. Neither one of us thought we were going to win at the Supreme Court. The miracle happened. And I'm here to say that one of the happiest days of my life was when I was driving to work one morning at about 8 o'clock in the morning. And I heard on CBS News that another sheriff filed a lawsuit against the Clinton administration. And his name was Jay Prince. And he and I, believe it or not, these two small town sheriffs met for the first time in New York City when we were both on Bill Donahue show. And Sheriff Jay Prince, welcome to the Sheriff Mac show this historic anniversary morning.
Sheriff Mac, let me just clarify a couple of things. First off, I think you filed first and I filed a couple of weeks after you did. And both of us, I don't think, knew that we were filing. And I want to also make it clear that we're not the only two sheriffs involved. There were seven sheriffs initially in this whole thing that created the situation where we ended up in the Supreme Court. So I give credit to the other sheriffs around the state.
In fact, I was going to name them all. And in fact, there was another sheriff in New Mexico that also filed, but I don't think his case went very far. But a total of seven and maybe eight, if you count Sheriff Lee in Otero County, New Mexico. And so why don't we just name them? We'll name them right now if you want.
Yeah, let's name them because I want to give credit to these guys. You know, Sheriff Romero in Texas is dead now. But these guys started it off.
No, Sheriff Coog. Sheriff Coog in Texas.
Yeah, Coog, I'm sorry.
And Romero is Louisiana.
Yeah, Louisiana. He's dead now. But at any rate, these guys started at the same basic idea that we had. Their decisions ended up making our decision in the Ninth Circuit Court conflict with the Fifth, I think, which created this whole idea that we go to the Supreme Court because we had two appellate conflicting courts meetings with different. So that sets
the stage.
If it
hadn't been for Romero and Coog, we may never have made it to the Supreme Court. I've said that lots of times.
Yeah, that's correct. So I want to make sure they get the credit that's due to them. We made it.
So another one was Sheriff McGee from Mississippi.
Right.
So and you, Frank, me, Coog, Romero, and then McGee, and then Sam Frank, who's in one of the pictures with us, and then Anders from Wyoming, and there's your seven.
Yep. So without those guys, we probably wouldn't be here ourselves.
True. Very true. Yep.
You're right.
Yeah. Because if it, like you said, Sheriff, if it hadn't been for the conflict at the circuit court, I think we would have been dead in the water at the Ninth Circuit.
Oh, absolutely. The Ninth Circuit is not the friend of ours or of anybody else. Freedom, matter of fact, but the fact matter that we had two conflicting opinions brought us to the Supreme Court, and surprisingly, they accepted our case, which I think surprised all of us because we were sure this is going to. So, at any rate, we're happy it did. We made it. We made history, as far as I'm concerned. And one of the things I learned about this was, you don't poke the big dog in the ass because he kind of wants to bite you. We had some issues with the FBI afterward. I think you did too. So, but at any rate, it's as Voltaire said, it's dangerous to be right in matters where established men are wrong, and we proved that point.
Well, and Sheriff Prince, to make it very clear, you know, this is something that even today the mainstream press doesn't want to admit to. This is something that all, even scholars at collegiate institutions and so-called experts in the Constitution, they want you to believe that any sheriff that believes he has authority is somehow off his rocker, kind of an extreme right-wing psychotic sheriff that takes power unto himself wrongfully. That couldn't be further from the truth, Sheriff Prince.
Well, I know Sarah Brady called us renegades, didn't she? She called us the renegade sheriffs.
Yeah.
And I'm happy. Yeah. I'm happy to say I'm glad to be a renegade.
Yeah. Yeah, anything that Sarah Brady calls us is a compliment. You know, she was something. She
well,
was,
I have a question
she was
for her
manipulating
now,
this
Sheriff
whole
Matt.
Thing. Wait, say
I
that
have
again,
a question
Sam.
for her now, and that is this. If Bill Clinton lost in the Supreme Court, wasn't he the out-of-control renegade that needed to be reined in, sheriffs?
Well, yeah, you would think.
He was a renegade in more ways than one, my friend.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, if you wanted a party in the White House, Billy Bob Clinton was the one to go to. But as far as having honesty in government, and I want to focus on this just a little bit. You alluded to it, Sheriff Prince. Sheriff Prince was attacked twice by the FBI after the decision came out, Sam. I got it really bad a year later when I was running for Utah County Sheriff, and they raided my office and put a big headline ruining my election. And let's remember this part.
And hold on. After I lost the election, no evidence, Sheriff.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And they've been doing election fraud for a long time, and they wanted to make sure I lost my election because I never heard from them again. They put my name on a search warrant aimed at someone else who I was a consultant for. Wasn't even a full-time employee of his. But, I did work for him as a consultant. And I never knew that he was doing what they alleged. But the thing of it is, they never charged me with a thing. They never indicted me with a thing. After I lost the election, I never heard from him again. And Sheriff Prince was attacked in two different investigations that were completely bogus, like the FBI has some sort of authority over us to begin with.
Well, Sheriff Prince, let's hear the stories. What happened to you?
I'll simplify them. I won't go into a lot of detail. But in 1995, prior to the decision coming out, I was involved in a deadly force incident where I had to shoot some guys trying to stab me to death, and of course that went to a coroner's jury, and everything was considered to be on the up and up. It was a good shooting. And then I had a deputy involved with an arrest that later on that also had to physically take a guy into custody, which took some force to do that. So all of those things happened prior to the decision. Well, after the decision came out, lo and behold, I had an FBI agent come into my office and say, oh, by the way, he says, we're notifying you that we're doing a civil rights violation, that shooting that you were involved in. I'm going, what? You got to be kidding me. And he demanded that I give him all the records from my office in regards to that shooting. And I says, well, go pound sand, because I didn't investigate my own shooting. You'll have to go to the sheriff's office that did it. And that's the one north of me. So I ain't giving you any records. Go to the court. Courthouse has all the records on the inquest. Go to the sheriff up north. He did the investigation, and get the hell out of my office, which they did. And so later on,
hold on. If the sheriff has no authority, how does he tell them to pound sand and they leave? What happens if I say that kind of stuff? They just throw me in the back of the car, right?
Yeah, well, they knew better. They knew they didn't have anything going on me. And this was all just retribution and political BS. So at any rate, they left. And later on, I was getting ready to retire in 1999. And I called that FBI agent up and I said, hey, I says, you guys were nice enough to come tell me you were investigating me. I says, now, why don't you tell me what's happened? You've never told me where that investigation has gone. I want to be clear to this thing, I want to know why not. And eventually they admitted that they dropped the investigation. There was no evidence to proceed further. And I said, well, that's mighty nice. And I was able to retire without having that thing hanging over my head. So that's it. My friends, the FBI, screwed up again, as they're doing today. They've been corrupt for years. They're still corrupt, and even maybe more so today than they ever were. It's crazy.
Yes, they are. And it's really amazing how underhanded, how weaponized, how corrupt the FBI has become. And they're blatant with it now. And this is something else I said, Sheriff. You and I both know some good people who work for the FBI. And I would tell them this. If you're still part of that organization, you're part of the corruption. And you're just taking orders and you're going along with them so you can get your retirement or get your paycheck. And you're going along with a corrupt organization for money. Do you want me to tell you what kind of person takes money and keeps quiet about corruption? So stay there if you want to, but you're wrong. That's immoral. And you should get out and go do something else.
But let's be clear, though, it's criminal corruption, it's election tampering, it's intimidation, it's all the things of third world countries or all the things of dictatorship style kind of behavior, though. It isn't a constitutional republic with checks and balances and the rule of law and due process and these kinds of things at that point, right?
Well, part of the problem is you got people at the upper echelons of the FBI, the people that run it. You got the Department of Justice, which is run by a corrupt attorney general. You got a corrupt president. So, my God, you know, the crap flows downhill, obviously. But these people have no character. They have what's the term I'm looking for? They don't care about doing the right thing. They just care about what's good for them. They're all in it for the money, for sure, as evidenced by what I'm hearing on our fine president and his young son. But they don't worry about their character. They worry about their reputation, which they have the media trying to enhance that all the time. But you know, you can't fool people. What's that saying? You can fool some of the people some of the time. They're not fooling all of us all of the time, that's for damn sure. And there's going to be a comeuppance here. One of these days, people are going to wake up and say, hey, this ain't right. Let's do something about it. And I think that's where we're headed. I hope that's where we're headed. There's another, I like quotes of people that are smarter than me, which is about everybody. But Robert Heinlein made a quote saying, you could sway 1,000 men by appealing to their prejudices quicker than you can convince one man by logic. And that's what they do. They sway all these people by their prejudices, but they can't convince Sheriff Mack and I by logic because they don't have any.
Well, it's also interesting that the reasons that you point out about your hopes for the future, Sheriff Prince, are the whole reason the CSPOA was born, Sheriff Mack.
Well, it was, and Sheriff Prince was a big influence on my life and on this case, obviously. It's every bit of this is miraculous. If you had talked to Sheriff Prince or any of the other sheriffs, all of us were putting our jobs and careers and lives on the line. We didn't know what the FBI was going to do next, or that the federal government was going to do, or the Clinton administration. And you need to be sure of something here. Everybody needs to be reminded. This was in the first term of Bubba Clinton. This was the biggest thing he had accomplished as president. And then along come some of these rogue renegade sheriffs, according to Sarah Brady, who was completely manipulating and exploiting her husband on this whole thing. But along come them and these two sheriffs stand up to the Clinton administration. And after, of course, 2.5, 3 years, I guess it was 3.5 years when the decision finally came out, that set it down and said it was a violation of law. It was a violation of the Constitution. It was a violation of the 10th Amendment. They didn't have authority to do this. And I need to ask Sheriff Prince this question, Sam. And this is what I've been wondering. I'm sure he and I talked about it in New York and other times, but the number one reason for me filing, Sheriff Prince, might be different than yours. And I want to hear what yours, what prompted you to file? Did it have anything to do with you hearing about me, or were you going to do it all along anyway? And what was the number one issue that you said, I'm filing a lawsuit against the federal government, a federal government that you and I did not trust, and we were putting our lives on the line for this? Why did you do it? What prompted you to do it?
Well, to be honest with you, I never really thought much about politics, even though, you know, when you run for sheriff, it's a political office, but I'm not a politician. I was a deputy sheriff for 15 years. My boss decided to retire and asked me to run for that position. So when I got into it, I'm an amateur politician. I sure didn't know anything about it. But when I followed this Brady Law as it was going through Congress, I was sure there's no way that thing can pass because it's idiotic. It just doesn't make any good sense. So I figured, well, it ain't going to pass. I wrote a couple letters to my congressman, whatever, thinking this is not going anywhere. And when the damn thing did pass and Clinton signed it into law, I'm going, oh, what the hell? So I asked congressman, I said, send me a copy of this thing so I can get an idea what the heck this is all about. It sounds like it's going to affect me pretty seriously. I couldn't get a copy of it. Nobody would send me a copy of it. Well, ultimately, I did get a copy of it, and I'm reading this thing, and I'm going, what? This is crazy. I don't work for these guys. Who in the hell do they think they are ordering me to do something with my limited resources and trying to do things that you can't do anyway? You know, you can't access, a local sheriff can't access mental health records without a court order. I can't just go in there and say, hey, give me mental health records. I can't access military, you know, because you're trying to determine what the prohibited persons are, which are people that are dishonorably discharged. I can't access military stuff. I can't access mental health records. Illegal aliens, I got no idea about that. That's all federal stuff. So you're asking me, or not asking me, you're telling me I'm going to do something that I can't do anyway. And if I give the okay for a guy saying, okay, he all I did was run an NCIC check, he's got no felony record, I okay him to buy a gun, he buys a gun, kills 25 people, that's what they're going to say is me.
We'll be right back.
Hang tight, ladies and gentlemen. Sheriff Prince with us, Sheriff Mack with us. It is a celebration on Brighteon TV with the Sheriff Mack Show.
Nearly all the vitamin C sold at retail today comes from China, and it's made from genetically modified corn. Even though vitamin C is a critical part of immune support, it's also critical to know where your vitamin C comes from. I'm Mike Adams, the founder of Brighteon and BrighteonStore.com. And we only sell non-China, non-GMO vitamin C. We then subject it to rigorous laboratory testing in our own food science lab, checking for heavy metals, glyphosate, as well as microbiological contamination. Only after it passes our tests do we encapsulate it and package it for our audience. You can find it at BrighteonStore.com. It's not the cheapest vitamin C on the market, but it is by far the most rigorously tested and honestly sourced vitamin C available anywhere in the world. Support your health and this free speech platform by shopping at BrighteonStore.com.
Thanks for your support of this platform. Use the code BTV at checkout for additional savings. BrighteonStore.com.
With so much of the world's current food supply consisting of dirty, contaminated, genetically modified foods that may have been grown using herbicides and pesticides, increased scrutiny over what you put in your body is of the utmost importance. Even supposedly organic foods found on most grocery store shelves may contain toxic substances, chemicals, and other additives that can be harmful to your health. That's why here at BrighteonStore.com, we subject all our in-house products to extensive lab testing for glyphosate, heavy metals, and microbiology using our state-of-the-art spectrometry equipment to ensure the highest quality of cleanliness and purity. Support your health and this free speech platform by shopping at BrighteonStore.com today.
If you can believe it, my dear fellow Americans, 26 years ago today on June 27th, 1997, Sheriff Richard Mack and Sheriff Jay Prince beat Bill Clinton at the Supreme Court. Bill violated the supreme law of the land. The good sheriffs held the President of the United States accountable for his criminal activity. Too bad there wasn't greater repercussions, but the greatest 10th Amendment decision ever rendered was brought forth in modern times. A true case of when you stand up, good things happen. Sheriff Prince with us. He was telling us an example right before the pause. Sheriff Prince, give us the whole context.
Yeah, the context is had been kind of foggy as it was winding its way through Congress. I didn't think it was going to pass because it was really kind of idiotic. But as history tells us, passed that thing in Congress and President Clinton signed it into law. I had been curious as to how much of impact it was going to have on me, but I couldn't get a copy of it. Finally, I got a copy of this thing. And I'm reading it, and I'm going, oh, this is crazy, because there's things I can't do in here that they're demanding that I do. Running background check people without the ability to run a real background check. In other words, and I think I explained this earlier, you have to, the way the law was written, the sheriff has to determine if somebody is eligible to possess a firearm when he buys it at a gun store. And if you're one of the prohibited persons, you can't possess a firearm. Well, prohibited persons are people that are mentally ill, adjudicated mentally ill. I can't access mental health records. People that are dishonorably discharged from the military, I got no access to military records. So they're asking me to approve somebody within 5 days, or is it 10 days? I forgot now. I never did it at all, so I don't care about
them. It was five.
Yeah. So 5 days and give the go-ahead. If I don't have anything to deny it, I have to authorize this guy to go ahead and buy a firearm. And then he goes out, kills 10 people, and I find out later that he was mentally ill, but I couldn't access his record. What the hell is this? So, at any rate, I decided that this is a complex, unsolvable problem for my level, and I was given the notice that we had a big meeting with all the sheriffs and officials at our state capitol in Montana. The feds were going to come in and tell us how they could help us implement this thing. So I went to that meeting. It was a 150-mile drive for me, so I go over there dutifully, and I sit in and I start listening to these guys telling how they're going to help the sheriffs carry out this act. And I listen to all this BS, and I'm going, now, wait a minute, you know, I don't work for these guys. So I stood up and I raised my hand and they asked me, what did I have, Sheriff? And I says, well, I have a question for you. I said, what are you going to do if I don't do this thing? Oh, my God, I'm in a tizzy because I want to say they're in jail. So they started hemming and hawing and bouncing around. And I says, well, look, I says, I got to tell you, I ain't doing this thing. So we'll see you later. I got up and walked out and I figured there's going to be a bunch of people follow me out. And I got outside that room and got a guy behind me. Not one person followed me out that door. And so I get into my rig and I start drive home and I'm thinking, holy crap, I already stepped in her now. So what am I going to do? And so this is kind of how my thought processes were going. There's no way I can hire a lawyer and fight the federal government. You know, small town sheriff, I don't make a ton of money. The county, who knows what they're going to do. So after I got home, I started checking around, and as luck would have it, I was turned on to somebody from the NRA, the National Rifle Association. Long story short, they offered to pick up the tab and find me a lawyer, in which I got Stephen Holbrook, who contacted me, and that's how my suit got started. A couple weeks after Mac, and then... after I'd filed, I heard about Richard Mack filing, I never knew the guy, never seen him before, never heard of him, but now he's filed first, actually, and then I filed second. And then, of course, Richard Mack had Judge Roll in Arizona who did your case. I forgot his name already. Any rate, my judge issued the first opinion on that because your judge was awful damn busy. And then your judge issued the same opinion. And I'm thinking, oh boy, here we go. And of course, the United States immediately appeals it, says, hey, no way. And because we're both in the Ninth Circuit, when the U.S. appealed our decision, they combined our cases in the Ninth Circuit, and that's where we ended up. Now, my first meeting with you, obviously, was in New York City when we met to go do the Donnie show. And that's where we really discovered that we had like minds. Of course, you're better looking than I am, but I'm smarter, so... Here we go. We're having a good time in New York City. Donahue is such a weirdo. I think we beat the hell out of him in that program. But here we are today. When the Ninth Circuit took our case, I thought, oh, we're screwed, you know, because they're right. Definitely.
And we were.
They're definitely one of the most liberal courts. And sure enough, they beat us 2-1. They had a 3-judge panel. 2-1 against us. I thought, well, that'd be the end of that. And then they had the opposite decision in the Fifth Circuit, and that set the stage for filing an appeal to the U.S. Supreme Court, which I understand that they only take about 300 of those.
1%. 1%.
Out of the 3,000 that are filed, and they only take a small number. So, man, when they took that case, thinking, wow, it's a big deal. And it was a big deal. And it still is a big deal.
Now, I want to look forward, gentlemen, with this court case in mind. You beat the President of the United States of America, who violated the Constitution, who tried to force public officials in different jurisdictions to do his bidding. The sheriffs refused. They have authority and rights to do so. The Supreme Court agreed with them. Shut down the president. But isn't it eerie that 26 years later now, they're pushing by hook or by crook, same like-minded gun control efforts. They're doing so on the national level with banning bump stocks, a.k.a. Biden. They're doing so in Illinois. They're doing so in Colorado. They're doing so in the state of Washington, just to name a few. I mean, we're eerily at the same spot. You guys bought us 27 years. It's up to we, the people, and the rest of the sheriffs to see if we can roll back the tide for round two. But just like the Federal Reserve, you know, Andrew Jackson routed out the bankers, but they came back. I can keep going with examples of where the government just keeps coming back, and eventually they get their way if we don't stand up like you gentlemen did, Sheriff Prince and then Sheriff Mack.
Well, certainly we've got serious problems in this country, but, you know, our founding fathers understood the nature of man, and that's why they wrote the Constitution the way they did. Now, you got a bunch of smart lawyers, or at least who they think they're smart, the words into meaning things they don't really mean, and that's how they try to get away with the corruption of the Constitution. They try to take, and that's why I'm a big fan of Scalia, and currently my favorite justice is Thomas on the Supreme Court right now, because they're originalists. They take the Constitution and the words that were meant back then mean the same thing today. They can't twist these words around, and these modern lawyers and their BS are trying to twist words into being saying things that they don't say, and that's how they try to get around stuff. And I love people like Thomas and Scalia and those guys who say, no, we're going to take this Constitution, and what they said then, it means the same today as back then. Can't change it around. One of the favorite parts of that decision is Clarence Thomas's part where he's talking about, he does it. He has a separate but concurring opinion, and he talks about the Commerce Clause and how the Commerce Clause isn't as big as people like to think it is, and that intrastate, in other words, you know, kind of break it down a little bit. If you manufacture a firearm in the state of Montana and you only sell it within the state of Montana, the feds have no control over it. And that's
exactly.
And I agree with it 100%. You know, they have as far as I'm concerned, a misinterpreted power in the Commerce Clause, which have, but that needs to be fixed. But right now, under Clarence Thomas's idea, that when you are doing intrastate, anything wholly within the state, the feds, under the Commerce Clause, don't have any control over what you're doing. So they can't regulate fire. Yes.
The fact that the states are sovereign republics in and of themselves, they created the general government. The creation cannot be greater than the creator. There is no delegation of authority from the states or with the people to the general government. There's no articulated list where they have authority in a given state with commerce at all. So factually, Justice Thomas is correct, and you're carrying out of that right now, highlighting this reality. It's evidence-based as you look at the supreme law of the land, Sheriff Mack.
Well, yeah, and I really appreciate what Sheriff Prince has said. He was absolutely discussing the same things that were going through my mind. How is it that the federal government can tell me what to do? I was hired by the people of Graham County. He was hired by the people of Ravalli County. How is it that the federal government can come in and dictate what we will do as part of our jobs? And in fact, that's what I told when the BATF came and gave us our orders as to how we had to enforce the Brady Bill. I said, you guys know we don't work for you. And they go, well, Congress passed a law. So, and I said, I don't care if you pass 500 laws. I don't work for you. And so I left that meeting very perplexed, very upset, said, how can I do this and remain a sheriff and keep my oath of office? So Sheriff Prince and I had the exact same feelings about this case. And that is, the federal government has no authority to tell any sheriff in this country what to do. And then what did we have? He had no other support really in Montana. No other sheriff filed in Montana. No other sheriff filed in Arizona. Only one sheriff out of 254 filed in Texas. In Texas. And so now we're faced with this dilemma. We're having the federal government come into a county in Montana just recently and shut a guy down that has run a gun shop for decades. And the sheriff does nothing. And they think that the federal government is the boss. And this case, the Mack Prince case, proves it, that they are not. And that if we're going to win this, we must have the dual sovereignty, as this case points out. Scalia didn't make up dual sovereignty. He just simply reminded us and took us through this history lesson. What a historic decision this was, because history was the name of this case. Scalia just quoted the founding fathers, as Sheriff Prince alluded to. This was very original. And he just went through the jurisprudence of the court when he brought up the New York case of 1992. The federal government has no authority. We are not subject, he said. States are not subject to federal direction. They threaten to arrest us if we fail to comply. I filed a motion to address that issue, and we won on that also. And stupid Janet Reno tried to justify saying, oh, well, we're not going to arrest the sheriffs. We just meant we're going to arrest the gun shop owners, the FFLs. And Judge Rawl said, are you kidding? You have no authority to change or interpret this law for Congress. It says anyone who knowingly violates this section of the Gun Control Act of 1968 is subject to a year in prison and a $10,000 fine or both. And so this is what we were looking at. And so I actually got, I don't know if you know this, Jay, I actually got an injunction against the Clinton administration from coming after me while we were litigating the case. And I think that applied to all of us.
I did the same. My attorney, Steve Hallbrook, one of the first things he did was go in and get an injunction that prohibited the federal government from prosecuting me during the pendency of this case. So that kind of protected my rear end, so to speak. So we went forward. Yeah. You know, interestingly, too, on this case, I had asked, I knew because I had made a campaign video for our governor at the time, Mark Roscoe, who was a Republican, and I ran into him and said, why isn't the state getting involved in my case? Why am I having to sue, and this is the state's responsibility? And he says, well, you're doing a fine job, basically, and we'll just keep out. Well, that's mighty, mighty encouraging, but it's not your money, you son of a gun, you know?
Yeah, my governor did the same. He was very supportive and very vocal about it publicly, but they never filed anything.
They should have been right involved because it was a state's issue, you know. And the other part of the problem was the feds are telling me here, you're going to do something or we're going to put you in jail. And I've got a state law, the preemption law, that prohibits me under state law from doing the very same thing the feds are trying to force me to do. This is crazy.
Right. And that's the problem, Sheriff Prince, that I see here and why I'm saying that Bill Clinton's actions were criminal. It wasn't just we want you to do something. It was under the force or the threat of jail. It was we're going to not only ask you to do something, but if you don't do it, we're going to use no authority of government to force our will on you anyway. That's where the criminality begins.
Well, they want to intimidate. Before we end.
Real quick, before we end, I want to show the pictures off that we got of us at the Supreme Court the very day we left. That was December, was it December 4th, 1996, we were at the Supreme Court?
December 6th.
I know it was 96, and I know it was December.
All right, December 6th, I believe, in 1996.
Okay, and, yeah. There's Sheriff Prince on the right with his nice, beautiful hat. Sheriff Frank in the middle from Vermont. And yours truly, on the left with my sunglasses and dark hair. Let's do one other at the press. Okay, there's the press conference right outside the Supreme Court. That's Stephen Halbrook at the mic. Sheriff Prince on his to the left, and then myself there. That's one of our other lawyers in the background. That's Richard Gardner in the background. He's the one I first talked to when I was calling the NRA for advice about what I should do. He's the one I talked to, and I really can't notice anybody else, but what a historic day that was. That wasn't that cold of a day. It was very nice. And then right after that, I went to the G. Gordon Liddy show, and he had a cab come pick me up. And my son and daughter were with me, and miraculously, they got to go inside during the hearing, the one-hour hearing. And this has been such a family thing for us, Sheriff Prince, that we've never forgot any of it. And my daughter, Lucy, never forgot that she lost the camera with all of our pictures on it that I was going to send you later.
let me make a comment. Those standing on the steps of the Supreme Court, this was after the argument, but prior to the argument, when I arrived there, I had my Sig Sauer 45 caliber semi-automatic handgun on me in a holster. Mm-hmm. When I went to court, I checked it in with the Supreme Court marshals. They put it in a gun locker. After the argument, I went and checked it back out. I put it on back in the holster on my hip, and we're standing on the Supreme Court steps with my 45 caliber semi-automatic handgun in my holster. And Steve Hallbrook later on, when he noticed that I had it, he thought, geez, you're crazy. You're going to get us arrested. And I said, nah, ain't no way, Steve. They ain't arrested me after all this been going on. I said, besides that, I'm a sheriff. I'm authorized law. I'm here on business. So it's all good.
I took his suggestion and I didn't wear mine. I'm in uniform without my gun, which is a no-no, but I didn't wear mine. I should have worn it. Yeah, well, God bless you for it too. God bless you.
Could have, would have. But you know, I'm happy that this case came out the way it did, because it was the right thing to do. The states have power. The feds have power. And that's the whole idea behind the Constitution, you know. And the states don't have the power. If the states don't have, or if the feds don't have a power that's designated in the Constitution, then it belongs to the states or to the people, respectively. That's the 10th Amendment. It just makes sense. And all we did was do a census, and people wanted to criticize us. We were right, and we'll always be right.
Amen.
And what's funny about this, and we'll get into these details a little bit more next hour on the radio, ladies and gentlemen, for this epic two-hour Sheriff Mack interview on the 26th-year anniversary of the greatest 10th Amendment decision ever rendered, where the two great sheriffs, along with five others, literally beat the federal government and said, oh, no, you don't. Today, scholars and professors and so-called constitutional educators claim that the theories that Richard Mack talks about are nothing more than theories, that somehow right-wing sheriffs believe a lie, somehow they don't have the authority they claim to have, somehow they're misrepresenting the court case in Antonin Scalia, they're misrepresenting reality on this. And I want to give Sheriff Mack and Sheriff Prince both an opportunity to respond to that, because I find it very fascinating that Antonin Scalia can articulate this. We can literally highlight the quotes from the Supreme Court case, and then they run around and talk about conspiracy theory as if they somehow, meaning these professors and, quote, collegiate folks, they somehow have the authority to interpret the Constitution any way they want, even against the Supreme Court, and somehow they're right and these sheriffs are wrong. Thank you so much for watching the Sheriff Mack Show. You want to get a copy of the Supreme Court case? It's available now at cspoa.org. For Sheriff Richard Mack and Sheriff Jay Prince, I'm Sam Bushman. Thanks so much for watching Bridey on TV and radio, and thanks for listening to Liberty, Loving Liberty Radio Networks.
The spirit of the American West is live and well in Range Magazine, the award-winning quarterly devoted to the issues affecting the American West. Each issue contains informative articles, breathtaking imagery, as well as the culture of cowboy spirit today, and gift ideas like the 2021 Real Buckaroo Calendar. Order online from rangemagazine.com. Loving Liberty Network salutes the spirit of the American West at rangemagazine.com.
Decades after Jimmy Carter, Joe Biden picked up where he left off. With America surrendering to terrorists, Biden's foolish spending is causing inflation, which means more pain at the pump, higher prices on groceries, devaluing your retirement savings when you need it most. Once was a mistake. Twice is a disaster. America needs strong leaders, not weak ones. Save America JFC is responsible for the content of this advertising.
The spirit of the American West is alive and well in Range Magazine, the award-winning quarterly devoted to the issues of the American West. Each issue contains informative articles, breathtaking imagery, as well as the culture of cowboy spirit today, and gift ideas like this year's Buckaroo Calendar. Order online from rangemagazine.com. Loving Liberty Network salutes the spirit of the American West at rangemagazine.com.
This is a battle between truth and deceit, a battle between forces that would enslave this country in darkness and between a media that wants to present you with the truth.
We are being censored. America's news outlets no longer provide the truth. 90% of news outlets in the United States are controlled by six corporations. The mission of the Epoch Times is to chase the truth, to ground all statements in fact.
TheEpochTimes.com.
All right, back with you live, ladies and gentlemen, on Bridey on Radio, and of course the Loving Liberty Radio Network. Loving Liberty, our nationally syndicated partner. They're the ones that help us with our national syndication and distribution. God bless them for all that they do. This is a historic show. Yeah, former Ravalli County, Montana Sheriff Jay Prince has been with us on TV. We're getting him back on the radio as well as we switch over. Also, Sheriff Richard Mack, ladies and gentlemen. Today marks the 26th anniversary of the Prince Mack versus U.S. Monumental Supreme Court case that restored the 10th Amendment in the United States of America. It stopped them in their tracks from absolute blatant in-your-face gun control. Sadly, 26 years later, we're kind of at the same spot, folks. Just think, though, a Supreme Court case win and good sheriffs standing up stopped them once. Can we do it again? Is the question. And I believe the sheriffs, backed by the American people, absolutely can do it again. The Constitutional Sheriffs and Peace Officers Association was created for that very purpose by Sheriff Richard Mack, the founder and president of CSPOA. We can restore America again, and I think sheriffs can take that lead, Sheriff Mack.
Yes, I feel the exact same way, Sam. We should. What I learned about Sheriff Prince and I going to the Supreme Court was that there's not enough court space. There's not enough money to take all these issues of corruption and abuse and oppression from the federal government. And we should just be to say no. Tell them, no, you're not doing that here. I don't have to obey you. You're not my boss. And I'm not going to sue you. I'm not going to do what you say. And stay out of my county. And from now on, before you come here, you let me know first what you're doing. This, you don't have jurisdiction except for five things granted in the Constitution. Don't come in here and act like you're in charge of my county. And don't be coming in here raiding gun shops in my county because I'm not going to stand for it. And you want something done, you go through the proper channels here in this county.
Sheriff Prince?
Yeah, well, the feds have gotten out of control, as we've managed to notice here over the last couple of administrations. The Department of Justice is so corrupt that it defies imagination. The FBI, and don't get me wrong, there are a lot of FBI agents that are good, honest, hardworking guys. But the administration of the FBI has gone corrupt. I mean, there's a cancer in that organization that is beyond belief. And the ATF, that's been a rogue organization for so many years, I can't even count that high. We need to do something about it. We need to get people involved at the federal level, our senators and our congressmen, to fix those problems. They're not going to fix themselves. And the feds will run roughshod over these states and these local sheriffs. You know, you're going to end up with some poor sheriff getting arrested on something, and he's going to have a hard time defending himself because they've got the power. It's like Joe Biden says, we've got F-16s. What do you got? So it's a serious, complicated problem. It's going to take some serious men involved in correcting it, and I hope those men, you know, in Montana, we got a couple of good people. We have Rosendale is our congressman, and we've got Daines is our senator, and we got some good guys at that level. We just need to get more of them involved in fixing the federal government, which is going to be a complicated and long-range plan.
Roger that. Stay there, Sheriff Jay Prince of Montana and Sheriff Richard Mack of Arizona. Hour one of the can. TV and radio archives will be available soon. Hour two coming up. Hard-hitting talk radio always at your fingertips. I am Sam Bushman. We declare this nation shall endure. God save the Republic of the United States of America.
Broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, no doubt, continues now. This is the broadcast for Tuesday, June 27th, in the year of our Lord, 2023. And an incredible, epic two-hour interview, special interview continued. Former Ravalli County, Montana Sheriff Jay Prince with us. Also Sheriff Mack with us. We're celebrating today marks the 26th anniversary of Prince/Mack, the monumental Supreme Court against the United States, where the greatest 10th Amendment decision ever was rendered. Will citizens back their county sheriff is the question. CSPOA.org. Archives of the simulcast of last hour will be available on lovingliberty.net for the radio and on brighteon.com, or I guess it's brighteontv.com, for the TV aspect of that. And folks, this historic interview continues now. Sheriff Prince is with us. Since your retirement, has the news media tried to contact you quite a bit about this case, Sheriff Prince?
Are you kidding me? They ignore me. But since I've retired, I really have had no contact with any media trying to contact me about this case or anything else. They're probably just happy that I went away.
Sheriff Mack, your response. Sheriff Mack, your response?
Go ahead, Sheriff Prince. I don't think the media cares.
Yeah, there's no big surprise there. No one has been calling me either about this. Obviously, my connection with Brighteon and with you, Sam, got us to this point, but it's been totally something that the media would ignore such a powerful decision, but they did it from the get-go, and it was by design. Janet Reno actually put out a memo to all the sheriffs and chiefs of police in the country, told them just to keep doing this. Well, the chiefs were never assigned to do this in the first place, and I think that's a key point, Sheriff Prince, that we haven't really addressed yet, that who are the CLIOs that the chief of that the Supreme Court actually talked about? Who is the chief law enforcement officer? The Brady Bill itself actually talks about it, and says the CLIOs, they came up with that term. So the federal government is the main source where you can see that the sheriff is the CLIO. Because the CLIOs that they chose who the CLIOs were, and they delivered this to the orders to for the enforcement of the Brady Bill to the CLIOs of America. And in every case, except where there's no sheriffs like Alaska, Hawaii, and Connecticut, the sheriffs were the ones that they said were the CLIOs. And in the decision by that was written by Scalia, same thing. He mentions that the CLIOs objected, and talking about the seven of us, and specifically the two sheriffs. And I'm not sure why we were the ones chosen, Sheriff Prince, but there were two sheriffs that were mentioned in the case, and that was Prince and Mack, and they were the two that were talking about. At the case, even though at the time we were at the Supreme Court, I only had 3 weeks left because I lost my election, my reelection bid. And thank goodness.
Yeah, but I want you to explain, Sheriff, what the CLIOs are so people understand. There's a term here that's important. This CLIO means something. And when we say that you're the highest authority in a given county, listen to the term CLIO. What does CLIO stand for, Sheriff?
Chief Law Enforcement Officer.
It's an acronym.
Oh. It's an acronym, but Chief Law Enforcement Officer, do you refer to somebody as the chief, the highest level in their county, if it's not so? Sheriff Prince, can the media claim that what we're saying isn't true?
Well, they can't claim it. You could say anything. You can claim anything, but it just makes sense because in most states, Sheriff Mack gave a couple of, like Alaska that don't have sheriffs, but in most states, the sheriff has jurisdiction everywhere in that county. The chief of police only has jurisdiction in the city that he's chief of. And so when you say chief local law enforcement officer, that's always the sheriff in states with sheriffs. We have jurisdiction everywhere in that county. So the way the Brady Law was written, anybody that bought a firearm, no matter which county he bought it in, the county he resided in, sheriff, had to do the background check. And that's the way this thing came down. So we had, and I have a lot of people in my county that go to other counties to buy firearms. Montana is a big state. But I had to have every person that bought a firearm, no matter what county, 56 counties in Montana, I had to do the background check. Well, I never did one. I'm here to say I'm proud that I never, ever did a background check. In fact, the New York Times called me and asked me what I was doing, and I said, well, look, I have my fax machine hooked up to my shredder, and it goes right from the fax machine to the shredder. I've never done one, and I'm proud of that fact.
Sheriff Mack, I like that. Hello? That's the Nullify Now plan. Hook your fax machine to your shredder, sir.
Yes, and actually, I did a couple of them, and then I found out Sheriff Prince wasn't doing them. I said, "Oh heck no, I'm going to follow his example." I'm ashamed that I did a couple of them, but yeah, we stopped doing them. And obviously, as Sheriff Prince pointed out to begin with on the Brighteon show, we were opening ourselves up to such liability. One way or the other, we were either denying someone who was lawfully allowed to have a gun, or we were allowing someone to get a gun that shouldn't. And all of the political heat and all of the liability came back on us. And that's one thing Scalia said. Here, the Congress, the United States government, gets to pass a supposed law, a pretended legislation, and then the sheriffs have to do it all and take all the heat for it. And Congress walks around saying, oh, those stupid sheriffs that don't know what they're doing and they're just rogue and blah, blah, blah. And they're the ones that caused the problem in to begin with. And so, Sheriff Prince was right. And I'm glad that I joined him in stopping all the nonsense. And obviously we were in litigation, so we also had some protection there. But it was such a stupid law to begin with, and it was just feel-good legislation again to try to appease the gun grabbers of the country, and again it provided no benefit to anyone and was just another stupid piece of legislation from United States Congress.
All right, one of the ways go ahead, Sheriff Prince.
Well, I was going to comment, this is another typical end run that Congress likes to do from time to time. Their normal way of making states do things would be to threaten them or blackmail them, saying, look, if you don't pass a law in your legislature, we're going to withhold highway funds or whatever. It's always about money. And that way the states would capitulate, their legislature would pass the law the feds wanted them to pass. And so that's how it was normally done. I was really shocked when they didn't even use that old ploy anymore. They just came directly to the sheriffs and said, hey boys, you're going to do this or go to jail. And I'm going, what the hell? So that was kind of my whole point was, I don't work for you guys. You can't make me do something. I work for the state. The state tells me I can't do it, and you're telling me I have to do it. What's up with that? Anyway.
One of the ways that they do this oftentimes is they play games with the supremacy clause. They want you to believe that the supremacy clause means that the general government is virtual God, and anybody who says anything different is a renegade terrorist, Sheriff Prince.
Well, that's how they try to control you is to threaten you. They call you all kinds of names, like I said, Sarah Brady called me a renegade. I'm a radical. I'm a militia sheriff. You know, they tell everybody that I'm this crazy nut, and yet the reverse is true. I'm probably one of the more calm kind of guys in this position. You know, we work in a profession, law enforcement, that requires a lot of calm, reflective thinking when you're involved in stuff. That doesn't mean we don't make mistakes. But Congress sits there for a whole year and mulls over doing something. You would think they would know better. But their job is to figure out how they can get around the Constitution. That's exactly what I think they believe. That my job is to exert my power. I've got power. I'm going to use it. And they do everything they can to enhance their power. And the other thing that always kind of irritates me is you ever notice how all these people that get into Congress end up being millionaires? How's that supposed to work, you know? I never made that much money as sheriff.
Yeah, you're not in the right profession, Sheriff Prince. What do you say to that, Sheriff Mack?
Yeah, well, that's exactly
well, yeah,
right.
Corruption.
I don't want to be rich.
Corruption breeds corruption.
I don't want to be rich. I don't want to be rich at the expense of my morals. You know, I'm a moral man, and all the things that they do that are in violation of my moral code, I ain't going to do.
Hang tight, ladies and gentlemen. The incredible interview continues in seconds on Liberty Roundtable Live.
Looking for an IT partner that truly understands your needs? Managed IT Services is the answer. We meet with you regularly to discuss your goals and form a tailored technology plan. Our customers have called us a trusted advisor who delivers. When it comes to IT, we do it all. Firewalls, cloud storage, server migration, and more. Say goodbye to long-term contracts and hello to a team that earns your business month after month. Call 801-706-6980 now and let Managed IT Services transform your IT experience.
Have you ever had great honey? No, I mean really good, all-natural, raw honey. Well, now you can, thanks to localhoneyman.com. We can ship out our locally made honey all across the U.S. So don't worry, you won't miss out. Plus, Local Honeyman has so many different flavors, like Utah Wildflower, High Desert Delight, Happy Valley, and Blackberry, just to name a few. So purchase your delicious raw honey today at localhoneyman.com.
The spirit of the American West is alive and well in Range Magazine, the award-winning quarterly devoted to the issues of the American West. Each issue contains informative articles, breathtaking imagery, as well as the culture of cowboy spirit today, and gift ideas like this year's Buckaroo calendar. Order online from rangemagazine.com. Loving Liberty Network salutes the spirit of the American West at rangemagazine.com.
I think that my family has always had a big influence on me for not smoking because since I was little, I was taught that smoking was wrong.
Recent studies indicate that smoking among teens often leads to the use of alcohol and other drugs.
I think having faith in God is a big part in it because the way I was raised has helped to avoid smoking.
Smoking. If you think you're old enough to start, you're smart enough to stop. A public service message from this station and the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
As I was mentioning before the short pause, you know, they use the Supremacy Clause to pretend that the federal government's God. It's a lie, ladies and gentlemen. They misinterpret intentionally the Supremacy Clause so they can try to have their way with us and violate the separation of powers. Now, we're involved in this incredible interview with Sheriff Jay Prince of Montana and Sheriff Richard Mack of Arizona. Both of them won. They beat Bill Clinton to the Supreme Court in 1997. We're celebrating the 26th year anniversary today, baby. But here's Chris Ann Hall, constitutional educator and constitutional attorney, and her breakdown of the Supremacy Clause.
Does the Supremacy Clause prohibit the states from their rightful remedy? Because your federal supremacist friend will say, well, the Supremacy Clause says that federal law trumps state law. Is that what it really says? How about we listen to Alexander Hamilton instead of a Supreme Court justice or a federal court judge? Hamilton says no legislative act contrary to the Constitution can be valid. That's exactly what the Supremacy Clause says, by the way. Let's look at it. The Supremacy Clause, Article 6, Section 2 of the Constitution declares, "This Constitution and the laws of the United States which shall be made in pursuance thereof shall be the supreme law of the land." You see, the Constitution is the supreme law of the land. Nothing else has to happen. It is the Constitution, therefore it is supreme. However, the laws created by Congress, and may I also submit the regulations made by agencies, are only the supreme law of the land when they are made in pursuance to the Constitution. Not every law is supreme, only the ones that fit under the Constitution. You can't have federal laws and Constitution on equal footing, because then all it takes is one law that supersedes the Constitution, then the Constitution's not supreme anymore. And if the Constitution is not supreme, from where does the Congress get their authority? Just themselves. Hamilton said, "No legislative act, therefore, contrary to the Constitution, can be valid." You know what he's telling us? That if the federal government is creating laws that are not consistent with the Constitution, they are no law at all.
In fact, the Declaration of Independence calls it pretend legislation. Sheriff Prince, your thoughts on that? Because they really want you to believe that somehow that supremacy means they can do whatever they want to. It isn't true. It couldn't be further from the truth.
Well, exactly right. And she's a smart woman because she's got it right, you know. And I think the term null and void come to mind in regards to that, that if the Constitution, which is the supreme law of the land, is used in the way that it should be used, most of these laws that this Congress passes are null and void, especially the Brady Law. The Brady Law was null and void when it was written. It's null and void today. And thanks to Sheriff Mack and myself, we reaffirmed that the Supremacy Clause doesn't apply the way they claim it applies. Sorry, I'm having a little trouble speaking. I haven't had enough coffee today.
Sheriff Mack?
Mm-hmm. Well, I love listening to Sheriff Prince because it reminds me of everything that you and I have talked about for the last 20 years, Sam, and especially about this case and what the case actually did. Scalia brought up the Supremacy Clause in the decision, and he gives an example of the EPA, how the EPA was, their policies were ruled to be unconstitutional back in the 1970s. And so the question you asked, Sam, well, where have we gone now? Well, we've gone full circle. We're right back to the abuses and corruption of King George III and the English Parliament. And now we have sheriffs believing that, or states, that they have to go along with this crap. And that's what really concerns me. And that's why I formed the CSPOA, is because we've got to wake people up. Yes, Sheriff Prince is correct. The states should be exercising their authority and enforcing the 10th Amendment every time some of these piece of crap legislations come through. Because they should be stopping them, and they should declare that these so-called laws, these pretended legislations of the Declaration of Independence, says that they're null and void on their face, and the states do not have to go along. The notion, Sam, that sheriffs and governors and city councils and county commissioners and state legislatures have to go along with legislation that is clearly outside the Constitution, and that includes all these ridiculous gun control laws that they keep promulgated. They are null and void on their face. And the very existence of this
specifically relates to the dual sovereignty that Scalia talked about in your case as well.
Exactly. Dual sovereignty is the solution, but the states have got to understand that and go along. Instead, the governors, if they're Democrats, they'll go along with the Democrat regime in Washington, D.C. And if it's a Republican, they do the same thing. And so I am so tired of the Democrats and Republicans pretending that they're trying to do something for us, and all they are is finagling for power and more money for each individual. I mean, the Republicans do the inside trading too, and you know, all I can say is the Democrats are usually worse than the Republicans. That's all you can say. But the inner fighting and the politics and the corruption between the two parties has brought us the ATF, the IRS, the FDA, the USDA, and on, and now they're using that against Amish farmers across the country, and they're destroying Amish farmers' livelihoods and jobs and putting some of them in prison. So ridiculous.
Sheriff Prince, do you hold out a lot of hope for America? I've never seen us so divided, sir.
Well, I've always been a hopeful man. I'm not one to give up. I don't like to say things are never going to get better, because I know the human spirit, especially the spirit of Americans, is strong. And I hold out a lot of hope that things will get better. You know, the founding fathers, as I've said before, understood human nature. And they wrote the Constitution to protect us from the very things that's happening right now. In fact, if the crap was happening right now, they would have been in revolution already. And with the stuff that's going on today, they wouldn't have waited around as long as we've waited. But we're patient people. I think that eventually God save us all, because we're going to need God's help. This Constitution is written in a way that the common man can understand. Lawyers like to take things and twist it around, but our founding fathers understood that if the common man didn't understand it, then it wasn't any good. So they wrote it in such a way that the common guy, you and I, and everybody else in this country, understands what they meant. They didn't mean some of the things that these guys throw at us. You know, when they talk about conspiracies, I guess I am a conspiracy theory person, because all the conspiracies that I've seen have come true. So I guess that must make me a conspiracy theorist. These people
are a conspiracy fact, I guess is what it really is,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. Our politicians need to change their tactics, because it's not working. They're not, you know, we're a smart people. They're trying to play games. The American people see what's going on. And at some point, the average Joe is going to say, okay, enough of this BS. I got things to do, but I'm tired of what's going on. And they're going to rise up, and they're going to fix this. I don't know if I'll be alive when that happens, but I sure hope that it happens before my grandkids have to experience the crap that's going on today.
Sheriff Mack?
As I said, Sam, I sure love hearing Sheriff Prince speak. He's got a lot of common sense, and it's part of the miracle of this case, Sam. And as he's been speaking, and as you've been talking, and as I've been talking this morning for the last 75, 80 minutes, it's really touched me. The spirit of America, the spirit of freedom, what Sheriff Prince was alluding to just now. And I believe that the American people will rise up. I hope, hopefully, in a peaceful manner. But if we have the sheriff rising up with them, this will remain peaceful and effective, Sam. And I pray for that day.
Amen to that. Stay there, gentlemen. Quick pause. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Live.
Protecting your liberties. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
U.S.
USA News, I'm Richard Johnson. The U.S. Supreme Court striking down election restrictions that North Carolina's Republican majority legislature tried to implement, including congressional districts that heavily favored Republicans. The High Court says the North Carolina Supreme Court was acting within its authority when it said the GOP map was partisan gerrymandering. Several hundred flights into and out of New York's three major airports have been canceled or delayed so far today, and the number's bound to climb as strong storms smash into the Northeast. At Newark Liberty, people are trying to cope.
We have to wait three more days to go home, but a lot of people are in the same boat.
It is kind of frustrating because we are with a family, so it's very tough for us.
Former President Trump says special counsel Jack Smith leaked that recording of Trump appearing to hold up classified documents. CNN acquired the tape in which Trump claims he's holding classified contingency attack plans on Iran. He also appears to undercut his previous defense of having a legal right to the papers. Some mixed messages from Russian President Putin over the fate of Wagner Group and its leader. NBC's Keir Simmons is in Moscow, first hearing Putin say the Russian people have come together to stop Yevgeny Prigozhin.
While he made that angry statement, at the same time this morning, we're hearing the Russian government announcing that members of the Wagner Group will not be prosecuted. They will not be prosecuted. So, you know, that kind of slightly hard to read combination of trying to show strength and also some flexibility.
Meanwhile, the president of Belarus now says that Prigozhin is now in his country. What's your number? The money you need to save to have a comfortable retirement. A new report from the insurance company Northwestern Mutual says for someone in their 50s, it's just over $2.5 million. That's up from just under $2.5 million last year. This is USA News.
Do you want to save money on your next flight? Then pick up the phone and call. That's right, call. Because the best prices are not online. They're with SmartFares. See, SmartFares has special deals with the airlines. When they have unsold seats, they use SmartFares to fill them. So you get airline tickets at crazy low prices. They have access to great prices and discounts at over 500 different airlines. Plus 300,000 hotels and rental car companies. Their prices are too low to publish online. With the extra money you'll save, you can book another trip or treat yourself to dinner or shopping. So stop searching all of those travel sites to find the lowest price on your next flight. Let one of our SmartFares expert travel agents find the best price for you. Call SmartFares today and get ready to see the world with a fat wallet.
800-871-3291. 800-871-3291. 800-871-3291. That's 800-871-3291.
All right, our two-hour special interview with Sheriff Jay Prince and Sheriff Richard Mack continues. You know what's fascinating? Let's talk about the fact that the Second Amendment protects a well-regulated militia. Now, let me be very clear about this. The mainstream press tries to tie myself to a militia. I've never been in and involved with a militia in my entire life, ladies and gentlemen. In fact, if you want to get technical, the real term militia would rule me out because I'm totally blind and therefore I wouldn't qualify for the militia. So them making that claim on me is absolutely 1,000% bogus. But they try to say that Sheriff Mack and Sheriff Prince are militia sheriffs, kind of an idea. This is a big dishonest lie. I think they ought to be sued over that. It's so bad, Sheriff Prince.
Well, I think they want to use that term in a negative way, and it's really not a negative thing. You know, when you the term militia, when it was used back in the day of our founding, meant something different than they're trying to make it today. So it's not a bad thing. Every person, every able-bodied man was a militia member back in the Revolutionary days. And when I was sheriff, I had the power to command as many able-bodied men to assist me. And so maybe I was a militia sheriff and I could command people to come help me in times of need. So
you're absolutely right. We call those We call those in modern times the posse, but you're right, it is a militia. My whole point, though, is they try to manipulate this term, and they try to weaponize it, Sheriff Mack, is what I'm getting at.
Well, of course, they've been trying to do that for a long time, and they tried so many different ways. He said how Sarah Brady called us renegade sheriffs and rogue sheriffs, and she said that on the Phil Donahue show. And they've been going after us and going after anybody who stands for the Constitution and stands for anything that's American today. And Sheriff Prince and I were before our time, I guess, in a lot of respects. And it still really bothers me that there was only seven of us, maybe eight of us. And I did get a call from a Nebraska sheriff during the time that we were in the suits. He says, I'm not doing it. He says, I'm not filing the suit, but I'm not doing it. And he said, they've never said anything to me about it. And I think Sheriff Prince came up with the thing when he was at the meeting with the BATF and FBI, whoever else was there trying to tell him how to enforce this, that he wasn't going to do it, and they didn't know what to say. And so when sheriffs did wittingly not enforce the Brady Bill provisions, they didn't know what to do because there really wasn't much there. And they could have tried to arrest us or any one sheriff. Just they had just arrested one of us. If they had arrested Prince or me, what would the other sheriffs have done? You know, would they have cowered away? Would they come to our aid? And would every sheriff then, would hundreds of sheriffs started filing the same case or 100 sheriffs stopped doing it? And what we know, and in the time that I was sheriff, and I'm sure Sheriff Prince would say the same, the FBI didn't want to mess with us. They didn't want to fight sheriffs. When they went after Sheriff Prince, I believe he was still sheriff. And me, though, I wasn't sheriff anymore when they really attacked me. And it looked like they kind of took it easy on Sheriff Prince because obviously they had no case and they didn't want to embarrass themselves and go tell him, well, we didn't really have a case on you. It didn't go anywhere. And another thing is, did they have a complainant on you, Sheriff Prince? Did they have a complainant or did they just bring this up on their own?
Well, you never know if they're lying to you. They claimed that the guy's widow or his ex-girlfriend, whatever, made the complaint. Mm-hmm. And so that was bogus. Hell, this guy used to beat that woman regularly. And so, even though I was sued by her, it was mostly the attorneys talked her into it. They sued me because they were going to get a contingency on that. That was a mistake, too. That thing dragged on for about 4 or 5 years and went nowhere. But they alleged that the complaint came from her, civil rights violation, blah, blah, blah. But I knew it was all BS, and I knew there was nothing they could. I mean, I went through a coroner's inquest, for God's sake, that the jury, the coroner's jury, took like 4 minutes to find that it was a good shoot. So I wasn't worried about it at all. I just knew they were playing games. And it didn't worry it at all. I'm not worried about those guys.
No.
You know, one thing that I like to read quotes from our founding fathers all the time, and those guys inspire me. So whenever I feel something coming on, feel a little depression, I go read everything that the founding fathers wrote. The guys were amazing. And one of the things that always stood out in my mind, it says, always stand on principle, even if you stand alone. John Adams wrote that. And I believe that this day is the only way to go.
Well, we pretty much did stand alone. I mean, seven out of 3,100 sheriffs. We were pretty much alone. And that's why I was so thrilled when you filed. Thrilled when you filed because I didn't want to stand. I didn't want to be the Lone Ranger anymore, and you saved me from that.
Yeah, you feel kind of naked out there. In fact, I wasn't thinking about that in the beginning, but later on, I got to thinking. Especially when you got things like the governor of your state. I mean, this was a state issue, and the governor's going, "Nah, go ahead.
you take care of it. It's like, what the hell, you know? You're standing out there with standing out there naked, and you're thinking, my God. And I got other things to do, you know. You're not only doing that, but you got your regular job as sheriff, which is always busy anyway. And so you've got this thing distracting you from your regular job. And, you know, sometimes got a little interesting.
The way I said that, Sheriff, is we had two full-time jobs, being sheriff and then doing the Brady Bill lawsuit against the federal government. It was a full-time job.
Yeah, well, and I called it.
It was hard.
I called it being Bill Clinton's best friend.
Well, I said that we were the only ones to sue Bill Clinton on a non-sexual matter.
Yeah, that's right. Well, don't get me started on that, or I'll end up with an X-rated program.
Yeah, I know. Another whole show on that. And Sam,
well, it's important to note. It's important to note.
Just so you
know back then, only. Say again, Chad.
I just want to make sure you talk to the end. To where I read the entire order of the court on this case. It takes about a minute. Yeah, about a minute.
You got it. We'll do it in the last segment. We got a break coming up in a couple of minutes, then the last segment, and we'll do that. Absolutely. In the meantime, though, you know, it's interesting that only seven sheriffs stood up then, and only two of them really went all the way to the Supreme Court. Now, I realize that several of the others made that possible with the conflicting decisions, and they shouldn't be discounted in any way. We want to, you know, give all seven sheriffs and possibly eight, I guess, and the judges along the way that made it possible. And we want to give everybody credit for this incredible 10th Amendment win. But I want to highlight that it's no different today than it was then. You know what? People ask us how many constitutional county sheriffs we have, and we have very few. But there's a big difference, too, between those who will stand up and those who won't. There's a lot of constitutional people who care, but they won't take this kind of issue on. Or there's a lot of people who don't realize they're very constitutional. Maybe they're not engaged in politics, as Sheriff Prince was not. But you know what? When something crosses their desk or crosses their life and the Spirit of God moves on them, they say, but hold on, now wait just a minute now. And so I bring that all up to say that, you know, these gentlemen speak of feeling kind of naked out there. Well, in today's vernacular, you know, men are running around naked in front of little kids. That's a whole other topic. But they're literally physically doing that intentionally. I bring that up because moral men stand for what is right, even when they feel alone in doing it. That's what integrity is about. That's what honor is about. That's what personal sacrifice is about. And I bring this up because it's no different today. And the difference today is we have an organization called the Constitutional Sheriffs and Peace Officers Association. We have an organization by which the sheriffs don't have to stand alone anymore. We, the people, can stand with our sheriffs and say, you know what? I appreciate your willingness to keep your oath of office. I appreciate your demand for due process of law for all citizens. We appreciate your willingness to stand in the gap, to interpose is what it's called, to nullify now. And to do those things that really, really matter. When we come back, we'll have Sheriff Prince respond to that, and then Sheriff Mack, and then we will hear this 1 minute, in my opinion, greatest 10th Amendment decision ever rendered, highlighted. We'll do it all in seconds on your radio.
Why does the left lie constantly? Because they get spiritual power from lying. The lies come from Satan, the father of lies. John 8:44. Here's how the political lying process works. Satan provides the beast with a lie. Then the more they use the lie, the more spiritual power they get. Look, the media is a lie multiplier, and this multiplication gives more evil, spiritual power to the beast, and that can overwhelm and even deceive the body of Christ, especially when the body is being disobedient to the head. The churches today are incorporated, so they're subordinate to human government. They obey the beast and do nothing to restore our national relationship with God. And the government shall be on his shoulders, Isaiah 9:6. That verse is not for the present day church. Rather, it is for the end time church, the body of the line of Judah. A message from Christ Kingdom Ministries.
Being there with your child and being there for your child are two completely different things. One denotes a simple presence, which is a start, but can also be accomplished by someone other than you.
Hey, can you help me with this algebra problem?
See, that sheep did a fine job of being there with the child, but it didn't do a very good job of being there for the child. Now listen to the difference an involved parent can make.
Hey, can you help me with this algebra problem?
I'm not very good at algebra, but do you have any English questions? Because I done real good in English.
Oh, Mom.
Okay, let's take a look.
Okay, so the algebra problem didn't get solved, but something better happened. Mom was there for her child. And when you're really there, they'll know how much you care. From the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. For more tips on strengthening your family, visit family.mormon.org.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, Sheriff Prince, Sheriff Mack with us on this epic two-hour special episode. Man, this day in history, Sheriff Mack and Prince both beat Bill Clinton at the Supreme Court, the greatest 10th Amendment decision ever rendered. And the difference now is, you know what? You don't have to stand alone, Sheriff Prince. Good, honest Americans can stand because of the CSPUA with you, thanks to the founding of the CSPUA by Sheriff Richard Mack. Sheriff Prince?
Yes, sir. Well, you know, I wanted to make a comment because I've heard this many, many times where I've had people tell me, says, who in the heck do you think you are, Sheriff, interpreting the Constitution? You're no lawyer, you're no judge, blah, blah, blah. And I always respond in this way. I tell them, look, I took an oath to uphold, support, defend the Constitution. And if I don't know what it means, why are you asking me to take an oath to protect it? So I know what it means, and I know what it takes to protect it. And when you tell me I can't interpret it, then I tell you you're full of crap, because I've been asked to defend it. That means I must have read it, because they're asking me to defend it. So that argument goes down the crapper. And the other thing that I'd like to notice that more people are worried about their reputations. I never cared about my reputation. I always figured if I'm doing the right thing, the reputation takes care of itself. In fact, John Wooden, the famous basketball coach, made a comment. He said, worry more about your character, not your reputation, because your character is who you are. Your reputation is who people think you are. And that's the way I've always looked at it.
Sheriff Mack?
Well, he's absolutely correct again. And I got the same people that said, who are you? You know, you're supposed to be following the law. And I said, no, I'm supposed to be enforcing the law. And the law is the Bill of Rights. And I said, it doesn't need to be interpreted. In fact, the word interpret or interpretation is nowhere in the Constitution. It doesn't even say the courts are supposed to interpret. The courts are supposed to do the same thing that we're all doing, and that is enforce and obey.
You know, you're exactly right, Sheriff Mack, and you are as well, Sheriff Prince, that you know what? We need to understand that the Constitution was not designed for collegiate folks or so-called constitutional scholars or, you know, law experts or, you know, attorneys at law or court supreme, you know, people to decide. It was meant for the average farmer. The founding fathers wanted the average farmer to clearly be able to say, I get the United States and the supreme law. It wasn't a, you got to be a king. It wasn't an old style back in the day. You know what? Let me read the Bible to you and tell you what it says. Before the Bible was mass printed, that's kind of how it was. The kings and the elites would tell us how it was or what it meant. Or, okay, no. The founding fathers understood that if we are going to keep ourselves free, we cannot be ignorant and free. That is what never was and never will be. That was clearly understood by these people, right? It was clearly something important that we needed to understand, and the founders realized this. And that's why they were so particular about what they did and how they wrote the Constitution. It was meant for the average Joe, the average farmer, the average barrel maker, the average blacksmith, the average pastor to understand. It wasn't something that was above the average person. And so when these clowns pretend that they're constitutional scholars, they work in the collegiate world, or they're attorneys, or Supreme Court people, and they look at a sheriff and say, you can't decide what laws you're going to obey. You can't decide what you're going to do. Shame on them. They misunderstand. How do you have a sheriff swear an oath to the supreme law of the land if he does not understand the law that he's swearing an oath to? Is that even possible? Of course not. The idea is complete balderdash. It isn't true. Okay? If a sheriff, if a lawman is swearing an oath to the supreme law of the land, and his job is to protect that law and to protect our way of life from enemies, foreign and domestic, and if he has a specific jurisdiction to maintain, how can he do that if he isn't qualified to make those decisions? They lie to you, and the points that we've just made proof they lie to you. Ladies and gentlemen, this is serious business. When we come back, we'll finish up with Sheriff Mack and Sheriff Prince. You are listening to the one and only two-hour live presentation on Liberty Roundtable Live.
Scott Bradley here. Most Americans are painfully aware that the nation is on the wrong track and in dire straits. Unfortunately, most political pundits only nibble around the edges when they claim to address the issues. Even worse, many of the so-called solutions are simply rewarmed servings of what got us into the mess we currently face. And the politicians think we're so gullible and naive that we'll buy their lies that they have reformed and now understand where they led us astray. Unfortunately, the truth of the matter is that they simply wish to continue to hold power. The solution to America's challenges is found in returning to the timeless principles found in the United States Constitution. My book and lecture series will reawaken in Americans an understanding and love of the principles which made this nation the freest, most prosperous, happiest, and most respected nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com and order my book and lectures to begin the restoration of this great nation.
Anyone who challenges their control is deemed a sexist, a racist, a xenophobe, and morally deformed. They will attack you. They will slander you. They will seek to destroy your career and your family. They will seek to destroy everything about you, including your reputation. They will lie, lie, lie. And then again, they will do worse than that. They will do whatever's necessary. The Clintons are criminals. Remember that. They're criminals.
I'm going to open up our libel laws so when they write purposely negative and horrible and false articles, we can sue them and win lots of money. We're going to open up those libel laws.
The spirit of the American West is alive and well in Range Magazine, the award-winning quarterly devoted to the issues of the American West. Each issue contains informative articles, breathtaking imagery, as well as the culture of cowboy spirit today, and gift ideas, like this year's Buckaroo calendar. Order online from rangemagazine.com. Loving Liberty Network salutes the spirit of the American West at rangemagazine.com.
I think that my family has always had a big influence on me for not smoking because since I was little, I was taught that smoking was wrong.
Recent studies indicate that smoking among teens often leads to the use of alcohol and other drugs.
I think having faith in God is a big part in it.
All right, back with you live, ladies and gentlemen. Internet outages continue to plague as the broadcast continues. You know what? We'll try to get the sheriffs back. Just have a little bit of a long break. Prince made an incredible point, which was simply this. You know what? I stand for what is right. I understand the supreme law of the land, the Constitution. That's why I took an oath. That's why I have an obligation to the people whom I serve. And so, you know what? I don't care about my reputation. I don't care about any of those things. I'm going to do what is right for righteousness' sake. Even though I feel a little naked out there alone sometimes, I'm going to do it anyway because it's the right thing to do. Sheriff Mack had the opportunity to double down and respond. Sheriff Mack, I think Prince is right on everything he's saying here about, you know what? He has every right to stand up and every obligation. How can they claim he can swear an oath to the Constitution and swear to uphold it and defend it if then they claim that he doesn't have enough knowledge to understand it, that you got to go to a so-called constitutional scholar or some garbage like that? It doesn't hold any water. Their logic fails, and that's why we always openly challenge these clowns to a debate. They will lose every time, Sheriff Mack.
That's exactly correct. Prince got it right and has all along. You don't need somebody to interpret shall not be infringed. You don't need somebody to interpret Congress shall make no law. You don't need somebody to interpret excessive fines or bail are against the law, nor cruel and unusual punishment. Nobody has to tell me that. Nobody has to tell me anything about what it means. The powers not delegated to the United States are retained by the states and the people. Nobody has to interpret that. You look at the laws. You look at the powers delegated to the United States in the Constitution. All others belong, all of them belong to the states or the people. And so the enforcement of the Constitution to uphold and defend the Constitution is our assignment. We're not supposed to interpret. The word interpret does not exist in the Constitution. We are to obey the law, and nobody has to interpret that for me. And Sheriff Prince is right. When we took the oath, we agreed that that's what we would do.
Sheriff Prince, God bless you for your work, sir. Any final thoughts?
Yeah, well, I wanted to just comment just a little bit on that. You know, when they talk about the Constitution, our founding fathers had it right. The people that are interpreting it, so to speak, today have a mindset that says, well, if it doesn't say we can't do it, then we can, which is totally opposite, because if it doesn't say you can do it, you can't. So they need to get their mind right, start acting like constitutionally knowledgeable people, and quit violating that Constitution. Then sheriffs like myself and Mr. Sheriff Mack wouldn't have to step into the breach and kind of put ourselves at risk, because it's not necessary if the people that got the jobs do the jobs.
Sheriff Mack, your final thoughts.
Well, my final thought would be reading the order of the court. How's that? Is that okay?
Read it, boys.
Go.
Read it.
Okay, this is the order of the court from the Prince decision. Both of us did this together, and I praise the Lord for that, for Sheriff Prince and his courage. This is the order of the court written by Justice Scalia, a huge monumental decision for America. Quote, we held in New York that Congress cannot compel the states to enact or enforce a federal regulatory program. Today we hold that Congress cannot circumvent that prohibition by conscripting the state's officers directly. The federal government may neither issue directives requiring the states to address particular problems, nor command the state's officers or those of their political subdivisions to administer or enforce a federal regulatory program. It matters not whether policymaking is involved, and no case-by-case weighing of the burdens or benefits is necessary. Such commands are fundamentally incompatible with our constitutional system of dual sovereignty, end quote.
Ladies and gentlemen, there you have it. And they claim we dabble in conspiracy theory of legal theories. But we look to the Supreme Court and say, hey, they got it right. Sometimes it's rare, but they did get it right. God bless you, Sheriff Prince. God bless you, Sheriff Mack. CSPOA.org. Get a copy of the Supreme Court case. Win and become a member today. The posse is coming up. We declare this nation shall endure. God save the Republic of the United States of America.